some more, let's say, closely related points to the book distribution as such. And I would like to keep it in a frame of, as we said yesterday, of a little visit in the heart of the devotee, the Sankirtan devotee, since all our activities in Krishna consciousness are based on the situation of the heart. This is the most important part, since we know Krishna himself as a super soul is residing in the heart, and we also are residing in that very same heart under his observation. So the qualities of a Sankirtan devotee are certainly non-different from the 26 qualities of a devotee, because Sankirtan devotee is a devotee. So therefore it may be nice, we are certainly not going to be able to go through all of them, and I think maybe in a Vaishnava behavior seminar usually this kind of 26 qualities of a devotee are very often mentioned and discussed. I don't know if this was happening with Chalo Maharaj, but usually I heard a seminary from which was based on these 26 qualities of a devotee. So a devotee, a Sankirtan devotee, has to develop a particular kind of qualities in order to be able to continue in his service. These kind of qualities, they relate basically to any kind of service, not only book distribution. But of course, as a book distributor, we are meeting Maya in the most condensed form. Yeah? This means, practically spoken, a Sankirtan devotee must be situated at least on a second-class platform of devotional service. This means he is accepting Krishna as the Supreme. He is making friendship with the devotees. He is helping the innocent. And he is avoiding the demons. This is automatically there. That's where Sankirtan starts. And therefore we see a devotee with a third class qualification, a devotee with, Prabhupada call it, separatistic view on devotional service, he will practically not be able to perform Sankirtan. He will hardly be able to start, and even he tries, basically he will have to stop very soon, because the qualification of a third class devotee is that he cannot even discriminate between actually devotees and non-devotees. Rather, he is very averse to approach, you know, the what he calls materialistic people. He is very averse to that, and he doesn't see any reason why to approach them. He is satisfied maybe to be in a temple, he is satisfied with, you know, with worshipping the deity, but he has hardly even a decent relationship to other Vaishnavas, or what to speak of preaching. So for such a person it's very difficult to develop a very positive attitude towards preaching, to be inspired to go out. But it's amazing enough that Srila Prabhupada, right away from the beginning, as he was still preaching in, you know, in Bowery in New York, to hippies, yeah, no? So still right away from the beginning, if one hears his early lectures, he was already pushing that point very much, you know, you have to move. So right away from the beginning, Srila Prabhupada was pushing that point that you spread Krishna consciousness to others. He said it to people which are not even initiated yet. To people with, you know, hippies with the long hairs sitting there. I'm trying my best, I have little lungs. This goes outside. I don't know why, but... Uh-huh, okay. So, anyway, so, Srila Prabhupada, right away from the beginning, pushing that point very much, he said, I am an old man, I am 70 years old, I may die any day, so please you take up the mission of Lord Chaitanya and spread it to others. Now, they didn't even know what the mission of Lord Chaitanya is. Yeah? And Srila Prabhupada was, right away from the beginning, the first interested people, already engaging, actually, in one point, first, book publication. It was immediately Srila Prabhupada. You know, he met the first disciple, Hayagriva later on. The first thing he showed him was a big stock of paper, his manuscripts. He asked him, do you know how to type a typewriter? Yes, very nice. I show you something. Then you open the cover and there was this pages and pages and pages. Yeah. Immediately from the beginning. Srila Prabhupada's mission was very clear. So therefore, in order to be able to participate in that mission, of course, we have to qualify ourselves. And the first qualification of a Sankirtan devotee is mercy. This is the first thing. If he doesn't feel any compassion for others, how can he spread Krishna consciousness? And actually, for a real devotee, it's quite something natural. It's not something artificial. We just to be taught, you know, you have to be now merciful. It's actually very natural. Even we remember, as this movement in the early days, I mean, I joined the movement in a stage. It was somewhere between Germany, it was somewhere between guerrilla movement and hippie movement, somewhere in between. So it was a very immature, basically, spirit. But one thing was there, which we are sometimes missing today and hankering for it. It was just, everybody was just completely fascinated by Srila Prabhupada. Maybe in a sentimental way. But the only thing I had, I came in a temple, was Srila Prabhupada. He said, he did, you know. Yesterday, it was a report in newsletters. Yesterday, he ate a big plate with halwa. It was a big thing, phone call from America. It was a big thing, you know. Srila Prabhupada, I mean, he was everywhere you look. Everybody spoke about Srila Prabhupada. We had hardly books in the beginning, there was hardly books. Later on, the first Bhagavad Gita edition came. I was distributing basically records with Harinam on it. The first 2-3 years, and we had small pocketbooks. That was the only thing we had. But we knew that everyone was completely fascinated by Srila Prabhupada. And Srila Prabhupada's arrival in Germany those times was extremely spectacular. Devotees were completely disregarding any material and social conventions. Yeah, completely beyond. I remember that airport still. Srila Prabhupada came to Frankfurt Airport. We turned the whole airport upside down, 120 devotees. Everybody, police, and nobody knew anything was happening anymore. And it was before Srila Prabhupada came out of the airplane. After he came out from the airplane, then the airport was really out of control. It was happening very fast. It was like sweeping through the airport, jumping in the cars, following his car. It was like a big race. And very, very much the atmosphere was so charged by this devotion to a spiritual master. This is the most blissful aspect of Krishna consciousness, really. That's what makes Krishna consciousness so tasty and so blissful. Unfortunately, sometimes in the name of relativity, we are a little bit watering that principle down and, you know, following our democratic, you know, liberal, you know, education we receive in the schools, that everything has 2 points and we have to consider them, and if we don't consider them, then we are not happy. And in this way you end up like, you know, like this, you know, plastic animals, you know, which are going with a head like this, but you don't achieve anything, actually. You cannot make a point. Now for a Sankirtani, what is the most important point is that he is determined, he has a point, and that's what makes people sometimes so upset. They say, you are brainwashed, you are a fanatic. Of course. Of course we are fanatics, and of course we have, one point. People are not used to it anymore. They think something wrong, it's like being diseased. If you are determined, just striving for 1 point, for your mission. So the first quality of a Sankirtani is he's merciful. He likes to give others prasadam. He likes to inform others. He takes great pleasure if others become devotees. Sometimes Sankirtani devotees are a little bit suffering because of that. Because, you know, by distributing books, there's sometimes not so much opportunity to talk to people, really. And it's natural. Street is basically not the place to preach and having a big discussions going on. But then, if there's an opportunity to participate in a Sunday feast, where on a temple, where preaching is going on, sometimes you see they have a little bit exclusive spirit, you know. They rather go back in the Sankirtan, then they eat the prasadam there, and they wash their socks and they go again, you know, next week. Yeah, traveling out. In this way, life becomes a little bit dry. And there is something wrong, definitely. Because that result of the book distribution is that person walks in the door. And then he is coming in the door, and then, aha, here we are. And sometimes it happens even, you meet the same person you met on the street, you meet him coming in the door for a Sunday feast. And he goes, I know you. And he goes, yeah, I know you too. And there you can talk, and there you can take care of him. And there is nothing, of course, more pleasant, as you know, it was self-evident from, certainly from the, I heard the seminar a few times already, from such Nanda Prabhu, from his Namahata, you know, this is what it is. We want people to come in, we want people to change their lives, they become a devotees, but people need care. And that is based on this merciful attitude. It's a very important thing. So mercy goes beyond the result. If we limited our view on Sankirtan just for a result, then actually we become simply not a Namahata salesman, but a mundane salesman. And we are limited just to our result. And then, yes, there's also some pleasure in this. Yes, we are big, maybe we achieved a big result. But the real pleasure comes by seeing people becoming Krishna conscious. So a devotee, there's a very nice verse in the Bhagavad Gita, which I would actually like to quote in this regard. He is a perfect yogi, who by comparison to his own self sees the true equality of all beings, both in their happiness and in their distress, for Arjuna. So this is a real Sankirtan devotee. He sees, in comparison to his own pains and pleasures, he thinks, I am here in Krishna consciousness, my karma is removed by the mercy of a spiritual master, to a greater degree, and still I am suffering here and there due to my misunderstandings, my attachments. What to speak of them? They don't have a spiritual master, they don't have a spiritual shelter, how much they must suffer? He doesn't see this separatistic division. Oh, I am liberated, look at this. Yeah, animals, camels as is, you know, normal, yeah. Immediately, as one assumes such an attitude, it will be very difficult to approach it. Yeah, it will be very difficult to have understanding from it. Actually, Sankirtan is based on a very, very personal understanding. That you understand, they are the person suffering in the body. Now, how to approach them? How to cross this coverings of the body? Actually, Sankirtan devotees are like spies, you know, in Maya's kingdoms. And they approach these encaged conditioned souls, which are, you know, paralyzed in the prisons of the material bodies, surrounded by different defense systems. You know, their bodies, sometimes they look also like this. They look like these walking towers, you know, covered by this flesh bone. That's not the worst. But what about the false ego and this? So Sankirtan devotee is like spy who goes, you know, and then he sees this big tower and he has to get in, and he knows there is a very nice person, but he's imprisoned there inside, in a prison. In the whole tower, you know, there's a system of defenses, and inside there is a person imprisoned. Now, how to get to that person? Because usually what happens, if you go the straight road and you knock on a door, hello, then immediately big gun comes out, you know, little door, who is you? What do you want? Yeah? So it's very difficult to approach them on this straight road. Except for the first Sankirtan devotees in the beginning, you know, they always make this, you know, same experience. They take the Bhagavad Gita and they go, hello, we came here to illuminate you. We are coming from the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, and we came here to give you love of Godhead. And this is like the, you know, you think that's what Sankirtan should be. And actually, yes, it's right. It sounds very good. But the response is usually not that positive, you know. Usually you hear something really gross, you know, yeah. Or you don't hear anything. They will just go, you know, and you go, what happened? They don't want to take the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. Actually, it's very nice. I took it. I'm very happy. Why not? They are happy. You know. So this is first amazement. This is the first stage of Sankirtan. And it's amazed. And realize, yeah, actually, they are not so nice. And by trying a few times the same technique, one realizes, they are not at all nice. Actually, they are horrible. And then you see them coming back to the Sankirtan, then, then you have to explain, yeah, this means you want to make them Krishna conscious, isn't it? Yes! You. Yes, me! But you cannot do that. Why not? Because they are not the controller. It's Krishna's mercy. Aha! Mm-hmm. Okay, it's Krishna's mercy. Then tomorrow we go out and we remember, it is Krishna's mercy. I am not the controller. I can try. Don't depend on the result. Just try. Okay? But usually after half an hour, everybody goes, you know, nay, nay, nay. Nay! then, you know, we have our good old false ego coming back and saying, why don't they take my mercy? I heard I have to be merciful, I became merciful, and they don't want me to be merciful. Then they all should go simply to hell. And then you become very miserable, extremely miserable. After you realize, actually, not only they should go hell, but I'm already residing in hell by thinking like this, because it's very displeasing to Krishna. So then we learn the lessons. Then we realize, actually, Krishna is in control. That's obvious, because I was thinking I'm in control, but since 2 hours I'm in control, nothing happens. So maybe, you know, I should let Krishna be in control. Yeah? So we realize, actually, I depend on him. I need him. Yeah? So we pray humbly. Dear Krishna, please, please. Yeah? Please. I depend on you. You are the greatest. You are in control. But, you know, I will be very frustrated if you don't let to distribute me anything for the next 1 hour. Because in 2 hours I'm very frustrated. So I don't like to be frustrated. So you are great, I am small. So please don't make me frustrated. Now Krishna is very wonderful in this regard. Yeah? He's a person, he's a supreme person. And he's dwelling in everyone's heart. So he tries to become my devotee after millions of lifetimes. Now, you know, I shouldn't frustrate him, certainly, but I will educate him. Yeah? He has so many material attachments in his heart. Krishna can see all these. We don't even see. We don't see, but Krishna sees. So he goes, I'm going to teach him a lesson. So I am going to let him to go a little bit, some result. Yeah? Then exactly on the point where we feel like, you know, jumping on somebody, then somebody comes and goes, what do you have here? Oh, this is interesting. Yoga. Okay, how much? All right. We go, ah, it works. I knew, by sincere endeavor. It works. And Krishna is watching. What is he doing? Oh, that one book he distributed, made all is so puffed up. Okay, no more books. And then there we go again. After half an hour, we realize, I forgot something. Oh, Krishna, I forgot him. Oh, I am miserable again. So, my dear Krishna, please, you are so blissful. I am so miserable. So why don't you make me also blissful? I want bliss. You make a deal. I'm going to serve you and you give me bliss. So Krishna goes, well, this is pretty materialistic, but since you want to be blissful, okay, one book more. Alright? So this is going on, basically, and this educational system is very intense, specifically for souls that decide to go in Sankirtan. Actually, once I heard a nice quote, it's Sankirtan was designated as a forced surrender. Now, practically any other department, you can choose. You can surrender and be very happy, very inspired, but you don't have to, and then you are quite miserable. But in Sankirtan, you must. Because if you don't, oh, then the misery is really intense. It's certainly more intense like somewhere else. It can become so intense. I think any Sankirtan devotee ever, who is a little bit honest, will remember those days he was standing there sometimes with the tears in his eyes. And it was bitter, and the tears were salty. But, you know, sometimes the lips got squeezed. It was really heavy. And we were just about to discover, actually, that we get angry with Krishna. You know, of course, devotee doesn't want to become angry with Krishna, but then we realize, what kind of materialistic rascal I am. Just because I am suffering here for 1 hour, I am immediately ready to get angry on Krishna. So that's what we call forced surrender. Our false ego has to be broken down. This is the greatest training, Sankirtan. The false ego is so hard and so stiff. And it has to be bent and broken from it. And then we are able, actually, to transgress the false ego of the other person which comes, you know, and confronts us, which we want to make Krishna conscious. So an expert Sankirtan devotee, that's another qualification, humble. This means, humble means not, you know, this Hindu Dharma humbleness, you know, this, you know, this. Namaskar. Sometimes it's this picture book humbleness. You know. And we look at everybody, I hope they understand I'm humble. That kind of humbleness can be maybe maintained sometimes in a temple, but not on the street. That's for sure not. Yeah? Humble means we fully depend on the instruction of the spiritual master. And that appears sometimes a little bit heavy from outside. A devotee who is fully striving for fulfilling the mission of a spiritual master, he doesn't appear even so humble sometimes. He is just pushing. He goes for it. This is called humble. On behalf of my spiritual master, yes, I go for it. And I stand for it. So, then we may be able to transgress the first gross walls of the coverings of the kami and come into the fortress. But there are more enemies to wait. It's not just this gross, you know, outlook. Sometimes you see they look very heavy. And once you are in the fortress, then you go and there is a guard. First of all, you cross the gross material element somehow or other. You make him forget that he is a material body. Actually, it happens all in seconds. A really determined devotee, it happens in seconds. You know, I mean, I don't want to get too much in details, and these kind of things are basically not very practical, because to imitate them, it's not very, you know, one cannot imitate. I would like to keep my speech on a practical platform so anybody can use it. If I get in my theater and speak, and it's funny, I am sure everybody had a good time. But after that, you basically don't get so much out of this, you know, you just think, well, it's a good time. But there's a practical reasons, but as a basic principle is that we have to take people as spiritual souls, not as a material body. But we can also, you know, like if you know somebody is not the car, but you can also establish relationship to him through the car. You can go, oh, nice, how so is you good here? Very nice. What is your name? You know. And he'll be pleased, you know, because he's so attached to his Rolls Royce. So he'll be pleased, oh, this is a nice car. And, you know, my car, yes, my body, yes. So therefore, a Sankirtan devotee, he goes, my dear sir, you are so nice and you are the right person. Actually, that was Srila Prabhupada's Shakti. He approached everybody like, you are the right person for Krishna. And people were, I saw it personally, it's amazing, the most bizarre people. They immediately confident that, yes, I am the right person for Krishna. So, therefore, you should do this little service here for Krishna. And they're going, yes, this is finally somebody who realized I am the right person for Krishna. So this is actually the basic attitude of a Sankirtan devotee. Yes, you are the right person for Krishna. So we go, hello, you know. And of course, they don't want that so much because they think, what do you want? There's automatically a fear, therefore so much defense system is there. Because they got cheated so many times. No wonder. But this is the first, you know, this is called, for this spiritual power is needed. To break through these defense systems. Then you got the bewildered mind after the gross elements. You know, the mind which is in a conditioned state. Something like a, you know, like a fog, you know, which is blown by wind through the fields. Completely aimlessly. You have to understand the condition of a conditioned soul. Most of these people, they don't even know they are thinking. They don't even know they are thinking. They are just senses, and they are like go out, and they pull in the information and the sense objects, and then it's the mind, and the mind is just just filling up like aimlessly, belly. Just, he's a very hungry fellow, so he can just and they just float, and the senses are out there like octopus, you know, like going and pulling in and going home. And therefore they find themselves in the most embarrassing situations with a cigarette here and ice cream there and girlfriend over there and moving, you know. And they don't even know how they got themselves there. It's just happened, you know. This is actually the position of a conditioned soul. This is very important to understand, because otherwise how can you be merciful if you don't understand how how exploited these people are? So a Sankirtan devotee without even external training, simply to that point that he wants to be help that person, Krishna gave him the proper vision. He is Mr. Senses, yeah? So first of all, how to engage the senses? So for Sankirtan devotee, without any special endeavor actually, and that express, that is so wonderful if you go on Sankirtan, with Sankirtan devotees, you will see everybody Sankirtan devotee distributes in a different way. Everybody got something special, which nobody else has. And the bliss is if you go with a new devotee, you see how it comes out. In the beginning, they join, they look all the same, and Hare Rama, oh, it was horrible. And they eat prasadam. It's more or less the same. But then they go out in the street, and you see how they develop. Suddenly there is this person coming out of this conditioning. I want to do this for Krishna. You, I want to give you a book. And you see how they strive. This is a real person. This is not the Mr. Svensson, you know. This is the jiva. This is a real spiritual soul coming out. And this is the greatest fun to go with new devotees out, because then you can see how this person comes out. In the morning he was still struggling, you know, if you should eat one bowl sabji more or not, you know. You know, these heavy times in the morning before you go on the street, heavy problems. Should I eat now one more or less, or should I fast today? You know, it's very important subject matters. But once they are in that ocean of conditioned souls, and they start to go for it, suddenly in the back he comes back. In the evening, the same person comes back. Hare Krishna. Krishna. The funny thing is, as I remember, as they taught me the mantra, you know, good morning, we are coming from India. There are many hungry children in India, you know. Mantras we don't use today. But, you know, I was thinking, if I say the same stupid thing the whole day, in the evening, I must be completely finished. I must just be completely... Don't remember my name even. But I saw them doing that, saying the whole day, from one person to another, saying same foolish things. And I was thinking, well, they look quite reasonable in the evening. So, if I try it out. So I tried out, and actually, amazing enough, in the evening, you don't remember this, you know, we are coming from India, and there are many hungry children in India, and you don't remember that. You remember Krishna. And very much. And suddenly that word Krishna has a million times more meanings than in the morning. It's amazing. And what you did, you just tried to sell some books to somebody the whole day. Then I got some idea. This must be something different, like, you know, selling something like a material thing. This is actually something spiritual. And I realized that if you actually give more out of these, then you can more chant Krishna. And Krishna means more to you, book after book. Up to the point when we used to have rasas, you know, 120 books, 150 books, you know, in the evening, you come back, you don't talk anymore about, you know, who's going to cook next morning, you know, and this, you know, this very important problems. You should go Krishna. And the other devotee also go Krishna. And you go, Krishna! And you go, Krishna! And it's so wonderful because you realize everything in that word, Krishna. And it's so nice to see. Unfortunately, after that, we have to take rest. And next morning, you wake up and we go again, Hare Krishna. Because the 6 hours, 7 hours of conditioning covered us overnight. And then next morning, we again go up, starting the airplane, putting up, you know, this, and Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, until we go again on the street. So, to cross that covering of a conditioned soul, a taste is required. Everything is based on taste. We couldn't, I mean, how is it possible someone running the whole day around distributing bushes? There's no taste in it. And that taste brings us, you know, enable us, this surrender to a spiritual master, and the taste we are deriving from that, bring us over the condition. Okay, so we can continue with our Mr. Materialist who comes, yeah, with the senses. So sometimes it's important to engage them on a sensual platform. That devotee just naturally is inspired. You know, you talk. And they go... Actually, here it's not so bad, but in Germany the greatest problem is to stop a person. Because they all run, you know. They are all running, simply mode of passion. They are simply running. But to stop them, this is a very difficult thing. And this again depends on determination. You know, you say something and they think suddenly, who was that? Actually, I saw it empowered Sangitan devotee. People come across the street to him. They don't even know why they change the side of the street. And they go on the same side. Because he has a desire to give them a book. Everything is based on this point of desire. He has such an intense desire to give them a book. And they come. We saw it sometimes. If you're in such a mood, you start in the morning. They go around the corner and they go, good morning. You go, oh, good morning. Doesn't know me? He knows you. And you know him because they are both spiritual souls. And it's this, you know, of course, this cannot be imitated. But the point is, to cross the gross coverings of the materialistic person, inspiration and taste is required. As Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj defined it, a preacher must be alive. Cannot be a dead stone, cannot preach. And you cannot do it simply out of duty. They put me here, the Hare Krishna movement, so I can, you know, surf, and in the evening I will get my prasadam. Yes. The people know, aha, he is not, this is not him who is distributing these books. They put him here So for such a consciousness, if you have such a consciousness, you meet all these people, they have millions of questions, and they ask you, do you really believe what you are doing, you know, and I believe in Jesus. What do you believe? Why don't you believe in Jesus? And you have all these people coming the whole day, and you are just, and, but no, I mean, I'm Hare Krishna, and that you are the son of a devil. And then you no, no, it's not devil, it's Krishna, please, no. Very difficult to distribute in such a weak consciousness. Therefore, some preparation is required. And of course, everything happens is to be trained up. Some training is required. Then, after you manage how to engage the senses, then you hit the mind. And you fix his mind, you know. I hear. And the mind goes, what is this? And then, after the mind, we have the crippled intelligence, which tells him, according to our calculation, you have no money for this. You remember, you want to spend the money for the chicken. You want to buy a chicken, not that book. So why don't buy it? And how could you actually get yourself in the situation? Tell him you know, my bus is going, or something like this. Just tell him. Just get rid of this guy. This is, you know, this is a crippled intelligence working there. And you can see this crippled intelligence behind. Get rid of him. Get rid of him. How to say no and get out of here? You know, if I say no, he will say yes. Well, I have to say something else. I have to look desperate or something like this. Just make up something. Just get yourself out of there. The intelligence is very busy. And behind the intelligence, there is a false ego going, how can he dare to stop you? How can he dare to... He wants to teach you something, like if you wouldn't know anything. You know everything. You don't have to hear from a strange guy who just pushed some book. Who knows what is this? Maybe he's thinking about God. You know? False ego is there. Just get rid of him. Punch him in the nose. So this is all the enemies. When you see them, they are all there. But behind, there is still the soul going, hello, here I am. I like that book. I would like to have that book. And the false ego goes, shut up! And the intelligence, the crippled intelligence goes, this is all brainwashing. And the senses go, what's the use? You cannot eat this. So this is the enemies you got out there if you stand in front of this conditioned soul. In some people, the intelligence is more, you know, dominating the whole thing. In some people, the senses are more dominating. In some people, the crazy mind. But basically, that's what the enemies are. Now, if you believe you are one of these things, then you're already lost. If you believe, maybe you think, I'm not the senses, but I'm my smart intelligence. Then your smart intelligence is going to meet his intelligence. And you will go... And he is going to win. What to speak of a false ego? If you think, the big German distributor is meeting the big German kami with the chest, and they go, this doesn't work. And they are always stronger. I don't think anybody here can match with the false ego of anybody out there. It's not possible. Their false egos are not only big, but they are huge. And they are trained up. They cultivate the false ego every day by reading newspaper. You know, yes, a real man is a strong man, big man, never admit defeat, never surrender to anything. This is a training we get in a society like this, when we know it from ourselves. So the wonderful thing about Sankirtan is that actually, while we are trying to introduce Krishna consciousness, we are ourselves getting purified from the very same impurities we are preaching against. Because we have to give them up in order to achieve, to reach that soul behind. And what kind of pleasure is if you finally succeed? I mean, I could... Maybe I'm getting you into this again, but I actually, originally I didn't want to tell any Sankirtan stories. Because, you know... I didn't want, because it's just the stories, you know. But there's always some... You know, these devotees always get amused by that. I remember that, you know, that what it means if you meet that soul, how pleasant it is. Once I met a man in the street, in front of a shopping center, classical situation. It's a big German, big guy. And he was standing there, waiting for his wife until she spends all the money. So, you know, so he was just waiting there, and, you know, obediently. So there was nobody there, so I came to him and I just said, hey, take one of these, very nice. He was a big fellow. And he was like, oh, yeah. Missed the senses, you know, completely.
Oh, what is it?
Germany, many people give him a book and they go. Yeah. Not overdone, this is reality. Several of you also told him, this book is very sweet. Actually, we used to have a Nectar of Devotion. It used to be outside the cover, the German Nectar of Devotion. Outside is brown, and you open this dust jacket, and inside is like marble, like, you know, like that. So we told them, outside like a chocolate, inside like marzipan. And they go, how much? Anyway, it's one of these stories, yeah. This is just demonstrating what kind of, you know, rational approach the conditioned soul has towards spiritual knowledge. Anyway. So it was one of these people like that. So, but I could see that he was kind of, he had a sympathy for me right away. Actually, as a Sangitan devotee, you develop a sympathy beyond that gross bodily covering, you know. You see, actually, he's very gross. But actually, he's a nice person inside. So I was going, bum, bum, you know. Take one of these, and he was going, how much? He has his big hands, you know, his hands were like shovels. So,
he said, I don't read any books, I own newspaper.
And so, anyway, you can read something, just give. And he was like, whoa. And then he tried to pull, you know, the. And exactly, of course, in the same moment, his wife came out. And she was like 15 meters away, and she saw it. And they have a kind of really developed instinct for that. She speed up immediately, you know, in his direction, and she was, you know. And then the struggle starts, you know, then you go. Because, you know, if she comes, it's finished, it's over. So I didn't succeed actually totally, you know. He was just about to give a donation and then she was already in between. What is this? Give it back. Immediately, completely automatically. She took it out of his hand, put it back in my hand. And then I just look at him. I was saying, anyway, it's nothing more to lose. Then I look like very compassionate upon him. She got you again. And he was like, he looked at me and suddenly something happened in his eyes. You could see the person, the real person came out. And he turned out and he took the book again on my hand. And he turned to the wife and said, I want that book. And she said, you don't want that book, you give it back. So, so give it back. He's saying, I want that book. And she was, you don't want that book. And I could hear that, I could hear she was completely trained up on this. It was completely, she was designing what he wants and what he doesn't want. It was completely established, the relationship. And suddenly just, you know, and she was getting quite convinced that you give the book back and we go, let's go. And she tried to pull him even. And suddenly he turned around and grabbed her pretty violently. He said, I want that book! And she turned completely white. And she was like, yeah, of course, sure. And then he pulled out the, you know, money and he gave me the money and he bought the book and he could look at her and said, let's go now! And I was just standing there, you know. Actually, that I realized, that was the first time in his life that the soul came out, you know, and he was, I'm actually spiritual soul, I'm not this body, dominated by this woman. This is a little experience that you have daily. Actually, every Sangitan you will get something daily like this, where you can realize, actually, this is something transcendental what we are doing here. And it's so wonderful, actually. This is a result of a Sangitan. You learn how to perceive Krishna as a reality. Krishna doesn't become for you just a picture in the Bhagavad Gita or somebody to pray to that your sinful desires may be, you know, eliminated every day. My dear Krishna, please, you know, don't let me fall down today. Yeah. Hari Bol, ecstasy. It's just, you know, it's church, Hare Krishna church. Yeah. We are pious. I promise, I'll never do it again. I did it yesterday, but I will never do it again. This is a very little space in Sangitam for this. You learn to live with Krishna and accept him as a reality. You learn to depend on him. We are not speaking about some stages of bhava and prema. This is now far away from our reach. But you learn to realize that he is there. He is on every corner. He is in everybody's heart. He is a reality. He is not just a philosophy or some words. And he responds to you as you surrender unto him, so he reveals himself to you. Therefore, you will find the same town, the same shopping street, the same books. Everything is the same, but one devotee, he is running around completely inspired. Hey, I just met somebody. He, you know, he bought four books at once. And the other devotee goes around him. Oh, it's so hot. Oh, it's so cold. Hello, we are coming from the... We are coming to make you blissful. You have to get purified, you know. And we know in the beginning Krishna consciousness is a little bit bitter, like a medicine, but at the end it's sweet. I'm now in the bitter stage, so... But just imagine a doctor coming, introducing some medicine in the hospital, and he goes, you know, this medicine tastes horrible. And we have to use it by shooting this big syringe, and we just push it in. It really hurts. But the medicine is going to help you. Usually a real good doctor, he will not do that. He will have the syringe behind the back, you know, and he goes, hello, you look so fantastic, you know. And he goes, you look much better. And, you know, and if you just turn around, you will make just a little bit, just beep, and you'll be finished. And I'm like, no problem, you know. I am getting this every day, no problem, you know. And then the patient goes, yeah, okay, you know, all right. And we are fast. And then the guy goes, you told me it didn't hurt. He said, it hurt? It didn't hurt. Then the medicine is in and then it works. So a Sangha devotee, he cannot, you know, afford to come like this gross doctor, you know, and going, you know, this is Bhagavad Gita, you read it, all your material desires are finished, you shave up, and you become a devotee. Horrible. People think, never, it's horrible. Yeah. Therefore, everything happens in this personal platform, and it's a very subtle platform. Actually, people don't buy books on the street. They don't buy books on the street, really. They have so many books at home. They think, another book. But they buy you, the person who is doing that service. This is the most important. Therefore, if we just see in an impersonal way, we think, I'm just performing my service. This is a service, and this is me. No, we have to become one with the service. Then, actually, our preaching becomes convincing. And we have to give ourselves to that service, into that service. That is the oneness, actually, in Krishna. When we become one with the service, then people realize, actually, it's a person. He wants to give me something. They don't understand what it is, but they understand he has something very important to say to me. It's so important, you know. And it doesn't depend on any external means. It's not some technique, you know. Like I once heard, there was a person who was selling vacuum cleaners. He joined, they were saying he was going to become a good Sangitan devotee. Or he didn't last even a few weeks, and he was going again. Yeah? Because this is not the qualification. Most of the Sangitanis, which are very inspired persons, they never did this before. They don't know even how to do it. They put them on the street and you try. And the only thing you know, there is Krishna, he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I have to depend on him. I have to try my best. Sometimes there is more success, sometimes there is less success. But this faith, this is the basic ingredient of Sangitana. Faith in Krishna. And if you see somebody cannot do Sangitana, he doesn't want to do Sangitana. Simple lack of faith. That's all. This is all it is. It's not a material qualification. Of course, there are physical problems involved too. That's another thing. That we have to also very thoroughly and rationally discriminate. If someone is just in a physical trouble, actually he has a full desire to do it. So what can be done? This has to be tolerated. But if there is a doubt, that cannot be tolerated. That must be removed. And it is firm faith that is established. So it's a battle of faith. It's a battle of desire. There is a materialist, he has a huge desire to enjoy. And you must have a bigger desire as him to purify, actually to introduce Krishna consciousness. And do it in a very personal way. People are concerned with you as a person. Therefore, even during the week, every Sangitan you would experience, one day it works, one day it doesn't. Just because your consciousness is not there, that's all. The question is how to get the right consciousness, how to motivate ourselves in the right way. Yeah? This is, and therefore these qualities of a devotee, that they are actually very relevant in this regard. Yeah? They are very, very important. If one is not merciful, humble, or let's say truthful. Now one may be amazed, truthful. How does this work? Actually, truthful means to teach people that they are not their bodies. Anybody who believes he is his material body, he cannot be truthful. Because you are not. This is the first cheating. And all other cheatings are, going from that. First of all, the first cheating is that you think you are a material body. Then you try to impress this lie upon others and treat them also like material bodies. That's the reason why Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj said this is a world of cheaters and cheated. Because some people believe you are a material body and then they are cheated. Or they impress the fact, or what they think the fact is, that they are the material bodies upon you, and then they are cheating. The devotee actually is the only truthful person, because he says, and he is introducing the real truth, that you are not this material body. Huh? That's a real definition of truthfulness. Of course, just from a mundane point of view, we are not using any, outrageous, speeches just to introduce a book. We don't sell Bhagavad Gita like a cookbook, Yeah. This is a little bit out of proportion. Yeah. I mean, in the old days, I went through all kinds of days as all devotees telling all kinds of things. In the long term, it never turns out to be beneficial. And neither for the devotee, because he's learning, he's depending on the scriptural techniques. He's not depending on Krishna. So, it can be done in a very simple way. And actually, that what makes a person to take up that book, it's your purity. Your simplicity. We have a person here which go out, they don't know even the local language of that country. And they distribute some less, more like the local devotees. I remember in Germany, we got a visit from devotees from England, and they were really fired up. They didn't know one word German. They just got a piece of paper with something, Guten Morgen or something like that. And they were just standing around, they were doing double as much as us, the old Germans. We got even so influenced that we also got a piece of paper with Guten Morgen and also going around. But it didn't work. Because they were just simply inspired. Sometimes you think, this devotee is qualified for Sankirtan and this devotee is not qualified. Actually, everybody is qualified if he's inspired. That's all. It's a question of inspiration. There's no disqualification. Now, some devotees may, let's say, also physically last longer and they distribute more in that sense. That may be there. But it's not the final important thing. The inspiration, that's what counts. And that inspiration, that desire to actually serve Krishna, Him purely, that's what brings us over this material conditioning. And there, in this way, we also stop seeing these people as material bodies. We can actually see them as spiritual souls. Once you see them as spiritual souls, Sankirtan becomes so pleasant. So easy, suddenly. I remember one devotee in Germany. He got this realization that this knowledge is so wonderful and so important. How is it possible they don't take it up? So he was so convinced and he was so, soaked with the desire. Then he was starting to run to people and going, where's your book? Where's your book? You don't have a book? Oh, here's a book. I remember him going to his household wives and the shopping, trolleys. And he was going in a trolley and, where's your book? Opening people's suitcase. Here's your book. And he took them like very confidential on the shoulder. He goes, you see the man over there? He got a book. You have a book? Where's your book? Why don't you have a book? And he was so blissful and so enthusiastic. People got completely. Well, they values association of Vaishnavas that much, they will also sooner or later lose the inspiration to go out. This is very intimately connected. Again, you see also those that are very much surrendering to the spiritual master, taking his instruction very seriously. They will naturally derive the strength for this, to go out on his feet and give it to others. Because we are simply preaching on behalf of the spiritual master. I have another story for this. We had an idea, before Srila Prabhupada arrived in Germany, we had the idea that we have to buy him a Mercedes. I don't know why, but he never asked for that. But we have the idea that since he comes to Germany and it's Germany, he must have a Mercedes. So we make a vow that the whole yatra, all devotees go in one night out, one day, and the whole collection from the day goes for a Mercedes. And we will manage in one day the whole yatra. Yeah. So it was like the marathon day. So we got up in the morning and was changing her and Mercedes. I don't know. Completely fixed, Yeah, today. I remember that day so clearly. We went to Düsseldorf downtown. Düsseldorf is a town, a horrible town. It's just it got a. It's a, in the city. There is another city which is simply consisting of bars, you know, bars and restaurants, and it's I think the second or third biggest place of beer consumption in the whole world. So, you know, and we were going for that place because we knew they have open day and night. So let's go there. And we started early in the morning, and it was building up to such a degree, and we knew that another town, there are other ones. Another town. You saw people coming with the cars from the other towns, and they had already LPs here and books there, and they're going, they are everywhere. And this idea that they are everywhere, and it was so inspiring. You saw that they are there and they are here. They even told you there was this big one with a square head, you know. That was him, you know. And then he was inspired like that. It was an incredible spirit in that thing. And I remember 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, we got in the evening, we got really tuned into that, you know, just going. And I remember at a certain point I slipped from my mantra, you know, from my, guten tag and, you know, I slipped from that. And I just, because few people asked me, why are you doing this? And I told them, I'm doing it. I just out of joke, after they gave a donation, I told them, I'm doing it for Prabhupada. And they were going, oh, very nice. And I was going, oh, well, and I slipped more and more from the mantra. Up to the point, I just went to the people and was going, hey, can you give something for Prabhupada? And people were going, how much? And it sounds like a joke, but we were completely, I remember 10 o'clock at night, I was just in that. I was going, you know, I went even into a bar, I was going and make announcement. We are giving these things out for Prabhupada. And people are going, ah! Didn't make any sense on the material platform whatsoever. But this is one of these things about Sankirtan, you know. Sankirtan doesn't make any sense on the material platform. You cannot rationally explain it. And as soon as you try, you finish, you ruin the whole show. Like in a kirtan. You dance in ecstasy, you are blissful. And suddenly you think, what am I doing? And you can make a test what happens. You end up like... Actually, the whole Krishna consciousness is like this. Right? The whole Krishna consciousness is like this. As soon as you start to think, this one guest in a Sunday feast in Heidelberg, he asked me, but don't you ever think? You know, because I just quoted, you know, I just quoted Bhagavad Gita, I quoted Bhagavad Gita. He was, don't you ever think? And I told him, thinking? And he was, oh. Yeah, actually, we think, that's right. But we want to make our thinking smooth, straight. We want to make our thinking think like Krishna. And their thinking is, you know, backwards, forwards, up and down. You know, many branched. That's what it is. So once you get into the single stream of Krishna consciousness in the street, suddenly you realize, it's so simple. And that is the problem with Sankirtan, because it's so simple. We are not simple at all. We think, why and how? And if I do like this, what will he do then? And therefore we don't have this, usually under Sankirtan seminary, one would expect some salesman techniques. Yeah? Like Kamis, they have that. They drive to some place and then they, you know, have the seminaries, what to do, and you ring the bell and then you open, so you put the foot in, you know, and then you go, hello! Yeah? Something like this, you know? So, and you're just like, I mean, you know, there are many people out there in society selling anything. Well, we don't have that. And we never had that. There's no one inspired Sankirtan anybody who went through such a training. It's simply his inspiration, his devotion is Krishna, which makes everything going. I mean, I remember, I saw this, it was one Maharaji in Germany. She was completely invisible person in the street, you could hardly see her. But those times she did like 160 LPs a day. So we were thinking, how is she doing it? So we asked her to demonstrate in the temple. And it was, she didn't say anything. She was standing on the corner and she was going, looking at the people and she was going. And I saw it on the street. I saw suddenly how people tune out of the stream and they just go in the direction. And I discovered that she's there on the corner. And they came to her and she was completely silent. And they were standing there silent in front of them and she was going, take one of these, right? Can you give a little bit? And they're going, yeah, of course, how much? And then they gave something, she was going, thank you. And it was the next one. It was all that happened. I was around the corner hearing what she said. It was all that happened. It was completely imperceivable from outside what's going on. But because it was some desire, you know, she could just tune the people out of the stream. And the guy went away and she was like, for the next one. And he went. And she was a whole day in that one corner, you know. Nothing spectacular going on. Of course, that cannot be imitated. If you are in Maya, you can stand there and they will go. Well, there's something wrong, you know. But if this story demonstrates that there is some further link, there is something more going on, like external activity. It's all coming from the heart. I remember, again, on this story, I remember we had a bit of a Hindu Suda Prabhu, we had a very severe marathon. And I remember that we had always a quota, we empty out a car in 1 week. It was like we're really going for it. So sometimes we end up on Saturday with quite lots of books left. And we knew we are not going to back to the temple until the car is empty. So it was always very dramatic. Saturday morning was the most dramatic time. I remember still Hindu Suda kneeling down in a hotel room, you know. And chanting like Hare Krishna, the picture of Prabhupada. Prabhupada, please! Because from a human point of view, it's impossible in 3 hours to do like 120 books. It's not possible. But we knew, we divided it, it was 240 books left, so 120 each, that was no way. And you know, and anyway, Rohini Sutta is special. If you would know him more, then he has no physical qualification to be Sankirtan whatsoever. I never saw somebody so being so disqualified physically doing Sankirtan. He was on Sankirtan so weak, I have to always chant my rounds by holding him up like this. And we were chanting together, like this. I was saying, and he was hanging me over the arm. And if I let him go, he boom. Couldn't stand on his own 2 feet. I had to sometimes almost carry him into a van from the hotel room. And then I drove him, and he was still, he couldn't chant even samsara in the morning. He was just Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Then he ate something, but then you put the sangitam back around, you know, and he was getting a little bit better. And then I had to always put the books in his bag because he had no power to do this. And we had big bags, big bags with 40, 50 Bhagavad Gita's volume in bag. And I loaded him like him, he was going like, you know. Then I turned him in direction Shopping Street, and then he started to go. And you know, Rohini stood there with this 2 feet. He was going a little bit like this. And I took my prasadam, and I went out after him, and there I saw him. Running like mad. It was very practical lecture to me that this is not a material power we are working with here. Because a material point of view is impossible. So Sankirtan is not explainable. You cannot explain it from a material point of view. It doesn't make any sense. So therefore sometimes very mundane people say, it's just a bunch of fanatics. They're crazy. What are they doing? Because from an external point of view, it looks like that sometimes. There's no way. But a Sankirtan devotee inside, he knows, aha, this is Krishna taking care of you. And how nice it is if Krishna takes care of you on a street. Kind of wonderful feeling. It's like you're sitting in the back of a car where in front you have, you know, someone is driving you. You know? You know? You realize actually, yeah, I'm not in this body. And Krishna is driving it. So nice. It's so nice not to be the body, at least for a few seconds. You know? And so nice that Krishna takes care of things. People coming to you. And I remember that day, that Saturday, he went out, Rohini Sutta was going like this, and then he started to go through in the shopping street very early in the morning. And I went after him, you know. And I remember, we didn't know how to do it, really not. That's a nice thing about Sankirtan. Every morning you start with a blank sheet. All your knowledge and your expertise from yesterday is gone. And the only thing you know, Krishna, help. That's basically what you learn on Sankirtan. To depend on Krishna's relevancy. So that was, and I remember we went like this, you know, 120 books, it would be nice. Of course, if I don't do it, I will stay here anyway. But, you know, it was like, you know, no way back. I remember these people coming from the train station in the shopping street, they had tears in their eyes. It was foul. They were just going, hello! And they were going, how much? Some people had already a money bag in their hand. They were going, completely mundane people. And it was, you know, these days are the nicest one because you realize how useless you are. You realize how completely dependent we are on Krishna. and how Krishna takes care of his devotees. These kind of experiences, Sangitani, I mean, everybody who goes on Sangitani has this kind of things. One should remember them, and one should value them. And one should also encourage others to come into that close circle of Sangitani and taste what it means to be a helpless fool who is dependent on Krishna. So nice. Of course, you can also make some, you know, other things. You can assume this pose in Krishna consciousness and that pose. You can impress this upon yourself and impress this upon others. But it will be a little bit always artificial. The reality comes where you realize, actually, I'm just a servant of Krishna. That's all. And it's so nice. And there's nothing to lose. Krishna takes care of the devotees so nicely. Then we can say, this is a real taste. And otherwise, if I'm witness a taste, how is it possible devotees go out again and again and again distributing this book? Again and again trying to, you know, transgress their own conditioning and coming to that point, actually Krishna is present. I depend on him. I hope, I don't know if it's just too esoteric or too emotional, but it's difficult if you speak about Sangitan to avoid these points. Originally I wanted to have a little bit more clear schedule, but you always have a schedule, you know, and we don't have so much time, it's already very late. So I would say maybe someone has one question or two questions, a practical question. Anyway, it's difficult to stop that. Maybe somebody has some practical questions? Specifically, maybe. Come on, you don't have a question. What is the answer? Yeah, it might be from the karmic point of view, but not from the devotee's point of view. I know where it culminates, this kind of view, that it culminates as you become more and more complicated in the street. You know, you start to explain more and talk more. In other words, you are relating more to their minds, intelligence and false egos instead to that soul. You know, I could never tune into this. My mantra, if I go now out, is exactly the same like 15 years ago. I'm coming from there, I go over here, and here's a book, and we like you very much, and why don't you read this? It's not very strange. I don't know, I am bad to preach on this. You know? Can I see some comments? There are different views on that, but I know one thing is definitely there. If a devotee is not inspired and he just depends on some, you know, speech, you know, he gets in trouble. Usually like that. It gets very complicated and very troublesome on the street. Because, you know, people are in general not able, their minds are not able to absorb some presentation. This is really a reality we are dealing with. Now, some people may be more inclined to hear. Then, of course, yes, sure. Like once a week, for me always was like this, once, two times a week, I met somebody who really wanted to know something. Now such a person, to give him just a mantra and, you know, and push out the book and leave him go, it's actually insulting. Actually, he will say, this is strange, you know. So immediately, death requires a bit of sensitivity. On that point, one has to stop and one has to a little bit, you know, take care of the person. Not too much, but, you know, but such a degree that he's satisfied. That requires a little bit of discrimination. But generally to make a rule that now we have to speak a lot or we have to speak some nice speech, and then if a devotee is satisfied by that and that keeps him going, yeah, why not? But I think that something got lost somewhere and to a great degree. And this is the enthusiasm. And you know where it comes from? It doesn't come from a presentation, it comes from a faith.
people don't have that much faith. That actually, yes, Krishna is there, and let's do it for him. I mean, I joined this movement, it was full of out people, you know. People which you wouldn't let nowadays in the country. In Germany, especially, I don't know, in other places, but strange people. I had a strange people in the van sometimes. You know, they were even sometimes singing they are God. But, you know, they still went out because of Prabhupada. This is strange. Actually, the presence of Srila Prabhupada was like covering the whole madness of the material world and purifying it completely, like, you know, even people which were ordinarily quite crazy. But, you know, because they were absorbed in that mission. And that original enthusiasm, I don't think it should ever get lost. I'm not, you know, pushing some sentimentalism, some emotional thing. But I think there's a danger that one can rationalize sankirtan. You know, one can try to really boil it down to some rational, you know, here we are, and this is ISKCON, Krishna's God, ISKCON, Andrik's God, you know. And we have a big place, you know, that we are only these fantastic people, and you are the stupid people. And we are the fantastic people. And, you know, and you learn how to become a human being, you know, you Swedish fire body. Yeah? You know? So, you know, it becomes very, you know, institutionalized. And that's troubling us to Sangeetan a little bit. Because Sangeetan can never be institutionalized. Sangeetan means, oh, it's a group of people which finally concluded that they are just completely helpless fools. They should depend on Krishna, try to serve his mission by a whole heart. And it is the only way to get out of this Maya. And if that understanding is there, then the speech and everything will be penetrated by that. Otherwise, I'm not opposing this very straightforward presentation. And I know it bothers sometimes Sangeetan devotees. I know in Germany sometimes devotees go even so far, the old Sangeetan devotees, they put in a dori and they go shop to shop straight. Because they don't distribute that much, but it keeps them happy, you know, satisfied that finally I'm a devotee. Because the fact is that, you know, we are still underground movement, more or less. We never, you know, cross that border that we know that people accept us as something else, as a fact. I mean, we have to be realistic about that. And if we try to compensate our complex of, you know, minority complex by putting up some fancy speech on the street, they are not going to like it either. I don't know, this is like, you know, there may be different views, but basically that what inspires the devotee, that should be done. I personally would always entangled if I start to go, you know, more complicated. People don't like it, just don't like it. Whatever it is, but if that personal point is lost and we are just representing some institution, then Sangeetan becomes very burning. This personalism, that there's a bliss is coming from, you know, that you are a person, he's a person, Krishna is a supreme person, you know, and we are all united. This is it of my Sangeetan tradition. And you know, in that consciousness, you don't relate to this fancy kami and big kami and big samsonite and, you know, heavy sink, you know. In that consciousness, you know, I remember once I met a chief of the shopping house, you know, the biggest shopping house in Germany, the boss I met, you know. And I was, you know, it was in the evening, he was going, you know, behind the shopping house and sitting in his fancy Mercedes. And I just banged on the roof, you know, like, you know, hello, just doing this book for nice people. And he was going, yeah, nice people. And he was completely finished. So I forgot the book first. I put the book away and told him, what's wrong with you? And, you know, in the evening, somehow I was in that consciousness. I was really feeling like that, you know. It wasn't some artificial, like, you know, I have to say something nice so he can buy the book, you know. It was like, what's wrong with you? And he said, well, my wife just phoned me up, she wants to get divorced, and I don't know what to do, and I'm so finished, you know. And I said, really? Wow, not so nice, isn't it? And he just looked at me, and then he looked at me, like suddenly, very seriously, he said, why don't you sit down? So I went around the Mercedes, sit next to him, and he was talking to me for 15 minutes. Just talking. How he got cheated by his wife, and how he doesn't know what to do, and he said, I have money, I don't know what to do with that money, but it doesn't make me happy. It was all just, I was just listening. Usually one doesn't do such a thing. But at the end, you know, I just, by the way, I told him, yeah. So, you know, I know, that's the reason we are
making a little bit yoga, and you're saying, yeah, I was always interested in yoga, but you know, this dry breathing process and this hatha yoga. I told him, well, that's not the real yoga, you know. Yoga means something else. You gotta realize, we realize it, that we are something else as all this here, because it's not so nice. And he became so inspired. I mean, I don't know how many books he bought. I remember I went to the car, and then I gave him an apple, from the Boga box. And he was happy with the apple and with the books. And he was, it was a completely mundane person, actually. But because, you know, that personal thing was there. That's a challenge on Sangeetam. One has to make a vow. I am going to stay a person. Even if they don't want me to be a person, I'm going to be the person anyway. You go, hello, and they go, bleh. Or in Sweden, they go, you know. And you have to be there, you know. I'm still here. I'm here, there. Oh, hey, here. And then they look like this, and you go around, I'm here too. And finally, they're there. So I can get rid of the guy. And they look at you. Through you, like. And you have to still stand it, you know. You have to still be there and pray. Maybe you understand. I'm a person. Krishna, please, you are in his heart. Make something with him. Meld him. And then he looks at you, you know, and you see, actually he's afraid. He's scared. And then you have to be really, like, you know, going underneath. I'm not going to harm you. I don't want anything from you. I'm your friend. I like you. Please, get the point. Get the force out of the place. And then he suddenly gets confident. Actually, this is a nice guy. He doesn't harm me. And then you can give him finally the book. And we are distributing these books. But actually, the question is not the book and the Krishna consciousness and the ISKCON. The question is that, hey, you are nice. No, I'm also nice. So this is for nice people. Yeah? Okay? And then, by the way, he buys the book. But if that personal principle is violated, then anything else is just like on top. It's superficial and doesn't satisfy neither the karmi nor the devotee. It's something, you know, very deep, actually. One can go around that point for 5 hours. Just, you know, just how to break through this, you know, impersonal covering. But we have to do it first. Yeah. I mean, you know, practically spoken, by circumstance sometimes, devotees are put into services and this kind of things. They are loaded with so many activities, you know. But even in our personal services, like, we don't go on the street. We are managing and this and that. But if you forget that point that we are persons, then life becomes a problem. So artificial, so institutionalized. I think sometimes everybody, all the managers, just, let's go for a few days, you know, again. Yeah? I mean, that's a nice thing. All the managers here, they did Sankirtan already. They know. Sometimes we become covered by these phones and by these offices and by all responsibilities you have to do the whole day. Sometimes we'll be proud just to, you know. And any time you go together on the street, there we are again. You know, person. Also amongst the devotees, how nice relationship can become if they are, you know, if they are on that platform. Well, you know, let's actually make a tape, you know, life of a manager. Maybe you could make some theatre, you know, like the Sangeetam man, the life of a manager. I was thinking a long time ago about this, just to demonstrate that the Sangeetam was which sings that sometimes, you know, what are they doing there, you know? Well, what are they doing there? We can make a theatre about that, you know, with the five phones, you know, like this, and people coming the whole day, you know. I have a problem, I lost my shoe. No. Some crazy guy phoning up, you know. Hello, you know. Is it Iskon? I heard you eat little children. In the evening, you end up like, Haribo. Because manager means you deal the whole day simply with insanity, that's all. And you don't have the simple weapon, the simple club like on the street. Like a Sankirtan devotee, as in the insanity is piling up, the only thing you have to do, you just take the club and just take the books and you go, hey, and push, and then it cools down. But in the office, what you want to do? You are locked up in the office, you know? And the phones are ringing and the phone, people phoning in. And you have to be nice, and you have to be social, and you have to go, hello, and yes, Krishna consciousness, very nice, you know. And you have to speak to the madman in one, you know, on the phone in one minute, then you have to talk to the nice devotee another minute, and you have to change from one minute to another. And if you don't make the change, then you go, kabu, or something like that, you know. And you go, that was too heavy, you know. And you cannot explain that actually, you know, that craziness, that phone produced that mood in you, which is, you know, we are projecting now into him. And finally, at the end, you don't satisfy everybody, everywhere, and it's your fault. That's all. Not so easy. Yeah. It was very blissful. I mean, I joined this movement, there was nothing. There was one pujari and everybody out. And whoever joined, my bhakta program lasted for 2 days. The first day I ate prasadam, the second day they shaved me up. And the third day I was on the street. And you know, the slogan for the bhakta program was makes him or breaks him. Sankirtan. Pretty heavy, we don't advertise it at all. I end up, you know, exactly in the same town I used to live, you know, with my girlfriend for three years in Dori and shaved in front of the shopping house. Didn't know, you know, how it got there. Nobody was there, they just put me on a corner and drove away. There's a magazine, you know. What am I supposed to say? Why just say you're coming from India and there are many hungry children in the house a little bit? No. But I'm not coming from India. This is a mantra! Okay, right. I remember this first day, it was like a dream. I was punching my thing in the cheeks and I wake up and I saw in a shopping house in the glass window my shape. You know, I just went exclusively to grandmothers, I remember. Only to very old ladies because they look so harmless. I was going, hello, the magazine. And they all bought, it was funny. It was fun, they all bought a magazine. In the evening I was standing there, suddenly I had no magazines. And then the car came again, like, they put me out in the car again. And I was like, how was it? They have the magazines. And they're all gone. This is great, this is good. And I felt first time, oh, this is something I never had before. Nobody told me before I did something valuable. Nobody accepted me really as someone who could do something for you. Then I came in a temple and, you know, a little temple. Devotees sleeping on the stairs like this. And then the temple president came down and he, you know, asked, hey, how was the new one? And he's going, he was great. He did, you know, 100 magazines in half a day. You know. And you look at me and you look like, hey, he is a Sankirtan devotee. And I was saying, no way, my whole life smiled at me like this. I was saying, for these people, I'm going to do anything. It wasn't very rational, it wasn't very philosophical, you know. But it was something which one has to have in order to keep you going in Krishna consciousness. It cannot be replaced by anything. Sometimes we are scared to admit actually we like Krishna consciousness. And you should be blissful and like it and be happy. And then you can go on the street. And you are a happy person. You go, hello! And of course, they will not maybe, you know, appreciate you immediately. You know. But still, they will see, oh, this is something. Oh, this is a club of happy people. And we are a club of very miserable people. Why don't you join the club of happy people? And that's how people join, you know. Sometimes we are losing the fun of our lives. And we are getting covered by these institutions, you know, management. Hello, you know.
Yes, ISKCON. We are good people. We are not sect, you know.
Who cares what they think about it? And they just think we are happy. Yeah, it's of course it sounds a bit maybe sentimental, emotional, but somehow someday we have to be happy. Anyway, I could get more into CSR thing, but I remember these days I was happy on the street. It was a very wonderful day. And it wasn't actually materially spoken the most blissful days. Usually I was sick or something like that. But somehow I felt in my heart that actually, yeah, Krishna is there, so nice. I don't see him, okay, I change his name, I don't see him, but he's there, so nice. You know, if you have this connection to people, you go, I have something for you, something nice. They actually, they are determined to hate you, but you are determined to like them, because they are spiritual souls. And suddenly you see how this hate is fading away, and almost unwillingly they accept that they have to like. For a conditioned soul to like somebody, it's too hard, because they don't like anybody except themselves. But suddenly they, you know, they think, oh, he likes me so much, well, I have to like him too, you know. And then they go, okay, how much do you want, you know, and you go, well, you know, I hope you don't starve if you get 10 crowns more, huh? I'm not starving. And they go, such a joke. Actually, the best thing, you know, is they know that actually you are fooling them around. They know sometimes. He's just talking. He just wants to sell me this book. I don't know what kind of book, but he's a foul guy. And then they go, ill. This is a nice platform of Sankirtan. Then you can do anything. You know. You can tell them, and if you would do this big brown one, you know, with the blue one, it would be really good. And that in Germany I told them, and you know, we are collecting with a big guru with a golden Rolls Royce. Yesterday he had a car accident and he broke the whole front part. You know how much it cost, a golden, you know, that's so much money. And they go, okay, how much? One doesn't take it so seriously, you know. It's just minor, that's all. All these important people quoting the newspapers, you know.
I read in the newspapers that you are dangerous.
Yeah, okay, that's in the newspaper. What do you think about that?
Well, I think that you are dangerous because I read in the newspaper.
It's okay, in the newspaper. Do you think?
Well, I think that in the newspaper they said that you are dangerous.
You want to take people like this seriously? They are like children. Playing around, going on games, you know. Ice hockey, chasing some black thing on the ice, you know. And the whole nation looking out. It's like children, you know. You can't take that so seriously. Playing with cars, little children are playing with little cars, and the big children with big cars, they go, Volvo Turbo. So you come with a big Volvo Turbo, you go, yes, very nice, big man, big Volvo Turbo. Why don't you take something from this folk? Big people. This is only people with Volvo Turbo can meet with. If I import it. Why don't we take it so seriously? You know, it's always how to become inspired on Sankirtan. You know, well, the inspiration doesn't come that way. Sankirtan is actually very nice. It's the most simple and most wonderful service one can do. It's so simple. You just go out and you just go to people. We are not in a factory. If you distribute 2 books or 20 or 200, who cares, finally? It's just the endeavor that counts. That's it. I'm going over the time. Okay, so somebody has some practical question, maybe it's good to know. You can maybe tomorrow come more into practical details. Okay, I'll go to Shiva.